15 to 27. Last week we preached on the need for patience. This week, guarding and dangers of our tongue. Dangers of our tongue. Now let's begin by reading together. That topic doesn't begin till near the end of the section, and verse number 26. But let's read James 1:14 together. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Tempted, everyone, drawn away. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. But in thine heart, if thy heart turn away, thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods. There's serious things being drawn away. And that's many things draw away genuine believers, genuine Christians, into sin. In Joshua 8 and verse 16. All the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. They pursued after Joshua, were drawn away from the city. To be drawn away, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. Then, following after their own lusts. When man is tempted, people are tempted. Their own lusts and desires in Proverbs 6, verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. There could be lust of the heart as well as the flesh. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And then in Matthew 5:28, the Lord Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman, I said to look on, don't stop there. To lust after her, don't stop there. Hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. There's heart adultery as well as physical adultery. Matthew 5:20, the Lord Jesus has it very clearly. In Galatians 5 and verse 16. If I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit of God controlling us, we will not lust in our flesh. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. Not in the lust of concupiscence. That's the desire of more things. That's another lust. Concupiscence. Even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Then in 1 John 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the first thing was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We know that, but if we say it, let's go. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Then this word enticed. When we're tempted, we're drawn away, enticed. Deuteronomy 13:6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, that pretty well covers everybody, which is as thine own soul, if any of them entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy father. Terrible thing, enticed to serve deities, not God himself. Then in Judges 14, verse 15, in the passage of the seventh day, they said, Samson's wife, entice thy husband. They couldn't get him any other way. Entice thy husband. Where is his strength lie? That he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And so this was a threat to get Samson's strength. And finally, the woman gave in and told the secret. Then 2 Chronicles 18, verse 19. The Lord said, who shall entice Ahab? Trickery, entice him, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead. And one spake, saying after the manner, another saying after this manner. So different ones tried to entice him. Then in Proverbs 1 and verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Just don't listen to them. Sinners enticing. All right, let's take a look then at the next verse, verse number 15. Let's read that together. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the enticement brings sin and sin death, spiritual if not physical as well. In Romans 6, verse 16, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. In Romans 6 at verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. All kinds of sin ends in death. And then in Romans 6, 23, we know this one, let's say it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only through our Savior is eternal life. Genuine faith in Him. Romans 7 and verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Then Romans 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded, guided by the Holy Spirit, is life and peace. Let's read verse number 16 together. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now that err is in the aorist tense, the present tense rather. It's an action in the present, and that means stop erring, stop changing your ways, stop going off the path, my beloved brethren. As far as some verses on erring, or take me away from the straight path, in Psalm 95 and verse 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that to err in their heart. It's bad enough to err in the ways and the deeds, but in our hearts. And they have not known my ways. Isaiah 9 and verse 16. For the leaders of this people caused them to err. So true. Political leaders and religious leaders cause people to err. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Matthew 22, verse 29, the Lord Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Many people err because they don't know the Bible. Many people know the Bible, still err and change and fall into errors. In Hebrews 3, verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Then James 5, verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, change his ways, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's read verse number 17 together. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a wonderful thing that our God is not a varying God. A lot of people are varying. They say one thing today, another thing tomorrow. But neither any shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He's the same, our God, the Lord Jesus. And He keeps His words. Proverbs 24, verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not for them that are given to change. I talked to you earlier about some of the things our president has said one thing and now he's changing. Meddle not for them that are given to change. Jeremiah 2, verse 36. Why gaddest thou about so much? To change thy way. Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. A lot of people change their ways. Start one way, change it to some other way. Malachi 3, verse 6. I am the Lord. I change not. It's a wonderful statement. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's a continuously righteous God and never changes. We should not change our good ways either. Change the bad ways, not the good. Let's read verse number 18 together. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Begotten, that is born of God. He's writing to the Israelites that have been saved. But begotten and born of God, John 1, 10 to 12. We know that one. Let's say it together. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Wonderful gospel verses. John 1, 10 to 12. Then in John 1:13, these people are genuine, saying, which were born. Everyone who's a genuine Christian has been born of God. It's a new life. Which is born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. If we're genuine Christians, we have to have been born of God. New birth. In John 3:3. You know that one? Say that together. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. New birth, generating a new life. And then John 3, verse 7, again, to Nicodemus, that old Pharisee, sinner, marvel not that I said unto thee, Pharisee, he must be born again. New birth. One birth is fine, two births necessary for heaven. In the kingdom of our Savior. And then in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of truth. And then in 1 John 6, or 1 John 5, and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Fellow believers, we're to love them also in the Lord. Then in 1 John 5 and verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now these are Jewish people that become Christians that James is writing to. The Jew first, in Romans 1:16, let's say it together, we know it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. These were Jews that were saved, and the gospel came to them that believed it. And in Acts 13, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing, that is it, the Jews that were there, but seeing that you have put it forth from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Paul started with the Jews, ministered there. They didn't want anything to do with it, went on to the Gentiles. Then the first fruits. We are the first fruits of his creatures. Anyone that's saved, especially these early Jewish believers, were the first fruits, but anyone who's saved is the first fruits of God as well. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, that means our money, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, with thy money. And then Romans 8 and verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves growing within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. They're waiting for the redemption of the body. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits, the first one that bodily rose and continued into everlasting life. First fruits. In 1 Corinthians 15, 23, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Very important to see some of these truths of the Word of God. Let's read verse number 19 together. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now later on, we're going to talk about speaking and the dangers of the tongue. This is sort of a preview of it, because my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. And that's the continuous action. Be continuously hearing fast, rapid, swift. Plenty of time spent on hearing, but slow to speak. Be careful how we talk. Sometimes it gets us into great trouble. Slow to wrath, but swift to hear. Some verses on hearing, for example, in Luke 8 and verse 21. The Lord Jesus answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. They ask, where's your brother? Where's your brother? So, hearing God's word and do it, they are his brethren in the family. In Luke 9:35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father says it's my beloved Son. In John 5, verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead in Christ, shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. Hearing the word of God, trusting the Lord Jesus, shall live eternal life. Then in John 10, 27, we know that one, say it together. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Next verse, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Just had one verse that we're going to one as well. Follow along. Those are excellent verses. John 10, 27 to 30. And then Hebrews 3, verse 15. All it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Many people hear his voice, but they harden their hearts. Some don't hear his voice. In Revelation 2, and verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In Revelation 3, verse 20, we know this one perhaps. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I shall come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He's knocking at the door of every unsaved person. Open the door, he will come in and sup. Then it's worth speaking, slow to hear, and swift to hear, slow to speak. In Matthew 6 and verse 7, we'll hear a little bit more about this down in verse number 26. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Much speaking is not the idea, it must be proper speech. And then in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. We've got to guard what we say and how we say it. Then the verses on wrath, be angry, but sin not. Anger against sin, that's one thing, but don't sin in your anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger is mild, wrath is intense. And so wrath should be stopped completely. Let's read verse number 20 together. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Man's wrath, in Romans 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Tremendous faith leading to righteousness, standing before God, faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 3, verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, God's righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. The only way that we can get God's righteousness is by genuine faith and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we all know this one, let's say, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus knew no sin, but he was made sin for us in our behalf at the cross of Calvary, taking our sins, burying them in his own body on the cross. Let's read verse number 21 together. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Lay apart, James says, all filthiness and wickedness. In Proverbs 30, verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Many people that are in our day in which we live are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. In our country alone, in other countries as well, filthiness is considered righteous and wonderful. Let's all do it. God says, filthiness is filthiness. Stay away from it. and not be just following it as we do in our country and others. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean from all your filthiness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all our filthiness would be washed away? Our filthiness in word, in our deeds, in our thoughts. And from all idols will I cleanse you. The cleansing of God is possible through His word. And through the Spirit of God. Then in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. These are talking to believers, Christians. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Filthy spirits as well as filthy flesh. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Then Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Let's read verse number 22 together. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. My, what that sentence says to all of us. Doers, that be is continuous action, present tense. Continue to be doers of the word of God, the right word. Don't waste your time with these false versions, some 50, 60, however many there are, even in the English language. Use the King James Bible. Why? First of all, it's based upon the proper, preserved Hebrew words, Aramaic words, Greek words. Secondly, it's accurately translated for those properly preserved words into English. And it stands. So doers of the word, and these other versions that use the false versions that change the New Testament in 8,000 places, the Greek words, 356 of those are doctrinal passages, doctrinal places. You can't follow these false versions. Doers of the word, the right word, not hearers only. It's easy to hear. We've got two ears. We've got one mouth. But hearers, we must be doers, deceiving your own selves. Many times people are deceived by different things. Let's read verse number 23 together. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So here, a glass is a mirror. If you're a hearer of the word, not a doer, just like somebody taking a mirror and seeing his dirt on his nose, his eyes, his fingers, his head, and does nothing about it. Puts the mirror down, gets his face away from the mirror, and straightway, going about doing what he wants to do, natural face in the glass, and then just forgets all about it. In Job 37, verse 18, the Word of God is a mirror. It reflects all of every one of us, our sins, our wickedness, as well as God's righteousness. In Job 37:18, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, as a molten looking glass? The sky, God says, is a molten mirror, molten looking glass, to see the majesty and power of God. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, now we see through a glass, a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Once we're in heaven, we'll see him face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know, even as also I am known. In heaven with our new bodies, with the Lord Jesus Christ, genuine Christians will be there, and we'll know him and see face to face. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. One day that change will take place in genuine Christians. We'll have new bodies changed into glorious bodies, and we'll see our Savior face to face. Let's read verse number 24 together. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But when you have a mirror, whether it's a big mirror on a glass on the wall or it's in your hand, and you look at how you're dressed. Look at your tie or dress, whatever you have on your face, and you behold yourself, and then you go your way after you see what's there and see all the crookedness and the dirt and things that need to be, your hair all messed up. Straightway forgetteth, immediately forgets what manner of man he was. That's a strange thing. Why bother looking in the mirror if you're not going to follow what you see? Straighten out what you see. Take care of what you see. That's the thing. Behold himself and straight goeth his way. Then let's read verse number 25 together. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what we should do with our mirrors. Puts it in the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, the Scriptures, proper, especially the good translation English for the King James Bible. Looks at the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. When you look at it, you can think, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When we see the Scripture and we remember it, and we change our ways, that's the mirror of God's Word. And he's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. He will be blessed in his deed. God has promised a blessing to those who follow his words. That's why it's so important to have the right words. Then in verse 26, let's read that again. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. This is the topic that we had. Beware of the tongue. The dangers of the tongue. This verse has a number of things to talk about that. Then a man seems, that's continuous, like, oh, look, that man or that woman, how wonderful they seem. That's only they appear that way. Doesn't mean they are. They seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. That's continuous action. Continue not to bridle. Continue. Stop bridling his tongue. His tongue is just flashing and flashing and flashing. Doesn't bridle it. Now, not that the tongue is improper. If it's proper talk, but sometimes we must bridle what we say. Here's a man never bridles his tongue, but deceiveth, continues to continue to seize his own heart. This man's religion is vain. As far as the word bridle is concerned, in Psalm 39, verse 1, I said, David said, I will take heed to my ways, what I do, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle tight, while the wicked especially is before me. Then in Psalm 39, verse 12, David says again, I will take heed to my ways, what I do, that I sin not with my tongue. Again, the tongue, the dangers of the tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. My dad gave me a horse. We called her Babe. She was a 5-gated horse. She had a bridle. There are two kinds of bridles, if you know anything about horses. There's a straight bit, just like this, one line, just like that. Then there's a curved bit. And that curved bit hits the roof of the horse's mouth. When you pull that, there's two reins to a horse that has two reins. The top rein is straight. The bond rein turns that so it hurts the top of the mouth of the horse. And he or she will listen to that bridle. The bridle, I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. As far as the tongue, the dangers of our tongue, the 13 verses on the tongue, I'd like to mention if we can. First is Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil. That means the tongue is just open for any kind of evil, saying evil things, swearing and cursing, anything, lying, and thy lips from speaking guile. Now, guile is deception. The second verse, Psalm 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness. What a wonderful thing to speak of God's righteousness with our tongues, praising him, and of thy praise all the day long. A third verse, Psalm 39, verse 1. David says, I will take heed to my ways, what I do, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now, when you're riding a horse and you're going very rapidly and galloping, you need that bridle to stop that horse and put that horse down, stop slow and quick and solidly and for sure. And so sometimes we need a bridle. And this is what the horses need if we're trying to use it. And then in Psalm 52, in verse 2, a fourth verse. Thy tongue deviseth mischief. Well, that's true. Our tongues can devise mischief. That's one of the, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Tongues can be like razors. A fifth verse, Psalm 57, verse 4. David said, my soul is among lions. I lie even among them. They're set on fire, these lions. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows. Teeth, spears and arrows. And their tongue, a sharp sword. So the other thing, tongues are sharp swords. Sixth verse, Psalm 120, verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Lying lips, deceitful tongue. A seventh verse, Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but they don't use it aright. They use it to sin and go wicked things. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. That's all they know. An eighth verse, Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A ninth verse, Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, and his guardeth, keepeth it, take hold of it, keepeth his soul from troubles. And then a tenth verse, Proverbs 31, verse 26. She that is the virtuous woman openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Difficult for many of us, the law of kindness. 11th verse, James 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. It's really tiny. It's not like a leg or a head. A little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a little fire that could kindle a great big blaze. A great matter, a little fire kindleth. A 12th verse, James 3 and verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set in the fire of hell. We've got to be very cautious of our tongue, the danger of our tongues. And a 13th verse, final verse, James 3, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. Only God can tame our tongues. It is a really unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Read verse number 27 together. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep themselves unspotted from the world. This is pure religion, pure service to the Lord. Undefiled. Visit fathers, have no father. Think about that. Widows. We have a number of widows in our knowledge, as recent widows in our church that comes to our church. And we have others that don't come to our church that maybe listen to us. We've got to be careful and care for them. Fatherless and widows. If they don't have any other person to continue with, talk to and visit with, as they used to, in Exodus 22 and verse 22, he shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Not afflict them. A lot of people just take great joy in going after people that are widows or fatherless or have no father. Don't do it. Don't afflict any of them. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 18, he that is the Lord doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Executes the judgment, in other words, judging properly the fatherless and the widow. It's properly. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 17, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. Take care of the strangers. Take care of the fatherless and the widows. Don't go after them and hurt them. I just heard this week from a friend of one of our widows that attends, usually at the afternoon service. And she said, I'm a friend of, I think of the name of the widow, she's a friend of, we got Faith. Who's the other one? The counselor.
Mrs. Weber.
Well, Mrs. Weber, yeah, but I mean the one recently.
Joanne.
Mrs.
Amber's
wife. Yeah, what's Amber's wife? What's her name?
Amber's wife.
No, Jill, okay. This is a friend of Jill. She said, I know about your ministry. She gave me an email just the other day. Came in, and I mean, I come always when I do want to come. Come as a church son, but all these different widows, all these different friends of widows and orphans and fatherless, take care of them, help them, not hurt them. And God says in Deuteronomy 27:19, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow. And then in Psalm 68, verse 5, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God takes care of these who are in need. They've lost their friends, they've lost their father, their mother, whatever it might be. Then Psalm 94, verse 6, they that is the wicked, slay the widow, slay the stranger, murder the fatherless. Wicked people do these things. They come upon them and just get rid of them. ISIS is a sample of that. And many other wicked gangster people, they slay innocent people. In Psalm 146 and verse 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. It's interesting. He favors these people, widows and strangers, fatherless. They don't have a lot of people to help them, so the Lord is on their side. Then in Psalm 146, let's see, did we see that already? Yes, we said that. The Lord preserveth the widow and relieveth the fatherless. Then let's go to Isaiah 1 and verse 17. Isaiah the prophet says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Take care of them, guide them. And then in Zechariah 7 and verse 10, oppress not the widow. Don't oppress the lady who is a widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Again, the sins of the heart, mentioned many times in the scriptures. Not the sins of the sins necessarily of the mouth, or the ways, or the doings, but even in the heart. We should have clean and pure hearts. But this idea of the danger of our tongue. Sometimes we get in trouble when we speak truth. You know that. I know that. When you speak truth to someone that believes a lie, they're going to be angry. Now, you're not doing this to be angry with them or doing anything. We're trying to teach what is factual in the scriptures. And sometimes that truth gets people into trouble. Does that mean because we get in trouble, we should stop speaking the truth? No. But we must realize to speak the truth that sometimes when people don't want to hear the truth, we will get in trouble. We will be looked askance at, we will be looked questioning at, and they will not like us anymore. Now I realize we've got to be tactful. I realize that. Be tactful. But when you're speaking the Word of God in the Scriptures, for example, all these things that we have in our Bible, as we seek to do, as we go verse by verse through these books of the Bible, we seek to preach the truth. To offend someone, we don't speak it to offend them. We speak it to tell them the truth so they can follow the truth and walk in the truth and be blessed of the Lord and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank Thee for Thy words. Spoke of James, many, many things, very practical. We ask Thee, Lord, to guide us and help us in our tongues. Speaking truth, not oppressing people, being very careful, being honest. Lord, help us to find the truth of Thy words and to follow what we see and remember. Give us memory that is true and righteous and profitable to all of us. Guide us and direct us as we go. Bring us back safely for our service this afternoon, the book of Romans. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals again and turn to hymn number.